Welcome to Atomic Moms, a modern parenting podcast about the joys and complexities of caring for our children and ourselves. I'm LA Noss, and since 2014, we've been celebrating and commiserating with world-class experts, best-selling authors, and parents around the world. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Hey, everybody. Adam and I are jumping in at the beginning of this episode to give you a little rundown of what you have signed up for in downloading this particular episode. Halfway through the episode, we get a phone call because the doctor has arrived. We did a house call for our flu vaccines. I thought I was going to be super mom. We were going to get all four of us done at once using an app where it's covered by our insurance. Just big wins all around. You'll find out what happens.
Yes. Did not go smoothly. Let's just say that.
Can you believe I've been doing this podcast for 5 years?
No, I have no concept of time, though.
What's it feel like to be Mr. Atomic Moms?
It's great.
Yeah.
To be the Atomic Moms arm candy is fantastic.
Well, new listeners, Adam is my husband. We've been married for 12 years, and we have two children together. Uh-huh. Eliza, who is 2, and Sabrina, who is 6. Why don't you tell everyone about your morning?
It was insane. I was taking the girls to school as I always do, pulled into our neighborhood. Traffic seemed a bit heavier than usual. It's about a 15-minute drive to Sabrina's school. I weighed it. It said 90 minutes. And I thought, that can't be right. And at that moment, you called me and said, I just turned the news on. They have shut the freeway down because there is a jumper on the overpass. Last time I checked, they got him down and he's okay. So there's that. All the comments in the article were about how angry everybody was about how he had screwed up traffic so badly. So anyway, I had to take a crazy back route to get Sabrina to school, finally got her to school, then took Eliza to school. And by then, totally unrelated, there was a police helicopter circling the grocery store next to her school with tons of cops around. They'd closed that street off. So it took another, 30 minutes to get across that street. And anyway, long story short, 2.5 hours after we left, I finally completed morning drop off and I'm totally spent.
No rest for the weary. Now you're soccer coach. Tell us about that.
It's great. I love it. It's a lot. It's a ton of fun. And it's been really cool to watch Sabrina and all of them sort of get better over the course of the season, in spite of my total lack of knowledge soccer wise. I don't really know anything about soccer. It's been awesome.
Do you have any suggestions for parents out there whose children are on teams that are losing all the time?
What, because our team loses all the time? Is that what you're getting at?
Hypothetically.
Keep it positive. I mean, Ellie is not, that isn't a hypothetical. We due to some injuries, they try to have really balanced teams. It's under 8, and they try to give every team a couple older kids and a couple really skilled kids because the skill gap is pretty wide because the kids range from basically 5 to 8. And we had a broken arm on our team, and we have another girl who is very good but can't make it to games because she has another conflict. And so we're often shorthanded and have a lot of younger kids. And as a result, if we don't keep score technically, but the kids keep score, which I always find hilarious. So the parents are like, we're not keeping score. And the kids are like, well, it's 17 to nothing. And you're like, all right, well, I guess they are. But we just try to keep it positive and appreciate the things that they do on the field that might not be the sort of traditional goal scoring metrics, but, just playing hard, honestly. I mean, they run their butts off. It's pretty amazing to watch. And, you try to celebrate that and, the little wins. And I will say Sabrina scored a goal this week, and it was the first goal her team had scored in a few weeks. And it was like the amount of joy that they all had collectively that the team had scored a goal was pretty awesome to watch.
Do you think that there was more joy also because of the special day that it was? Can you explain to our listeners what it means to have a silent day?
So it was called Silent Saturday, and it's a league mandated day in which all age groups, so it goes from like under 6 all the way up to under whatever, 14, 16, the parents and the coaches are not allowed to talk. You can clap and that's it. And it seems so simple.
It's like golf.
It is. It's like golf, but it's so weird because you realize like all of the noise you hear on a youth soccer field, for the most part, is parents and coaches yelling stuff, not like negative stuff, just yelling more or less instructions to kids, you know, get the ball, run, do this, do that. And when you remove that, it's really quiet. Like it's, and then the kids start to communicate with each other, which they don't normally do because the, all they're hearing is adults shouting stuff at them. And then they start to talk to each other and, they definitely loved it a lot more. It's like, you sort of ask them like, did you guys like Silent Saturday? And they're like, yeah, we want to do this every week. And I don't blame them. Like it becomes very obvious very quickly on Silent Saturday that like we spend too much time micromanaging them on the field and not letting them sort of fail in small ways and learn the game that way. And I think that's sort of most parents is like, we just have such a tight grip mm-hmm. on our want for our children to do well moment to moment. Especially in a game like soccer where, and I think I've talked about this with Ellie before, like there's sort of three phases at this age where in the beginning, they just sort of watch the other kids play. They literally just stand on the field in their uniform and the play runs past them one way, past them the other way. And they just sort of watch it. Then the next phase is they kind of run alongside the play and they don't necessarily engage, but they're there, they're running around it. And I think that's the phase with, for most parents, you're sort of like, get in there, Veronica, you know, do it, kick, you just go ahead, just get up, just run to the ball. And because you're watching your kid be like, run literally a foot away from the soccer ball and then stop. And that's most of the noise, at least at this age group, is parents saying some version of like, get in there, you can do it, come on. And when you remove that, not only I think does it allow the kids to sort of hear their own thoughts, but like Veronica then does in fact go and get the ball. Because I think rather than stopping to listen to what someone is yelling at her, she just sort of follows her own instincts and then follows through on it. It was awesome to watch. It's very cool. And I'm not surprised that all the kids love it and want to do it every week. And were in fact annoyed that the coaches were allowed to talk during the water breaks.
I'm wondering if we should ever try a silent day at our house.
I think that would be an awful idea, but we could. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
It would be. And I did not get to go because Eliza, who is two, would not have participated.
No, she would not have participated in Silent Saturday.
And we would have ruined so many games.
Yeah.
She's so loud still. Yeah.
She would have been fine. I mean, they would have allowed her to yell, but
she kept trying to charge the field the last time I brought her.
No, she was definitely like, I want in on this. And also
she's a handful.
The last thing I will say, cause it's funny, like we're joking that Eliza would ruin Silent Saturday, but it's, you can tell by the way the administrators of the league run it, that it is such a slippery slope where like, you can tell that if one adult is allowed to talk, that they'll all start talking. Like, it's so funny. Like, as adults, you think of yourselves as the adults in the room. And yet, we're probably incapable of collectively understanding why, like, we're at the end of the day, we're children. It's like, well, that guy gets to say something to the kids. Why don't I get to say anything to the kids? So they're really sort of, you know, it's like a dictatorship. They walk around being like, don't forget, nobody's allowed to talk. And you're like, okay. And then even the coaches are on the sidelines and the administrators are like, hey, you're not allowed to talk. So why stand on the sidelines? And it was like a firm suggestion.
Are you allowed to point?
No. Okay. And so they firmly suggested that we all get off of the sidelines and take a seat with the other parents.
How did it feel to be sidelined for the first time in your life?
I was... As you know, I don't like being told what to do, so I'm not going to lie. Like, I got real I got real frosty when someone because it was like this – it was like a – I had like middle school flashbacks.
Yeah,
to like a kind of an oversized guy kind of came up and was like, hey, coach, you can't talk. You really need to be standing over here. And I was sort of like – I said, I think it's comforting for the girls to know that I'm here. And then I said, but I will – I choose to leave the field.
I will stand by the popsicles instead.
So I went and shot some video of the kids, which I never get to do when I'm coaching. So that was kind of fun.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was great. And now soccer season's winding down and you're about to whisker off to New York City.
Yeah, I'm so excited about going to New York. So listeners, message me on Instagram. Where should I go with Sabrina? We will be very busy with family obligations. But what would you do with a six-year-old in the city? We can't wait. We're mostly looking forward to room service.
Yeah.
Hot chocolate in particular. And it'll be so nice to feel, you know, a season. Because it's been so hot in LA. It's been 100 degrees every day last week. And there have been fires. And it's, it actually makes me nervous to leave you and Eliza here.
We'll be great.
I feel like I should better prepare any earthquake kits or.
Yeah. Like we should have prepared an earthquake kit. But you've already had this conversation on the podcast with Claire and Bridget. So.
Right.
We don't need to rehab. We'll just go to Bridget's house.
We'll just go to Bridget's house.
Yeah. She seems to have a.
I just got a notification that. Oh, see, Madeline Donahue, who is an artist we've had on the podcast. Yeah. We've got our shop together. Go to atomicmoms.com/shop. She just texted, y'all okay in the fire? Hope it's not a threat for you. And it's not at this time. We do have close friends who have been evacuated from their homes. So, you know, we're all in pins and needles at all times. Mm-hmm. And I feel really, there are certain friends that I don't think their kids have missed so many days of school because of the fire.
It's wild.
It's crazy. We're supposed to check our phone every morning, basically, to see if our kids will go to school.
Yeah.
Because they, even if it's not about the fire, it's about the air quality.
Crazy. LeBron was driving around last night looking for a hotel. Couldn't find one for him and his family.
Really?
Yeah.
He could have come to our house.
I know. I'm sure. I was wondering how many people hit him up on Instagram being like, you can come into my house. I mean, over under had to be 10,000, right?
At least.
Yeah.
You can't even, if you're that famous, there's no way you can even look at your messages, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, boy.
But I don't know. That's not true. I feel like, you know, we see like Dwayne Johnson responds to stuff all the time.
So, your buddy Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
We are taking a page out of the New York Times for this episode.
Literally. Digital.
There was a recent article, Embrace the Micro Date and Other Couple Strategies for Connecting After Kids. Mm. So consider this our micro date.
I mean, you know, for us, it's mostly watching, you know, like finding a show that we're both obsessed with. Mm-hmm. That's streaming. That's usually one. But the crazy thing is
we need a new one.
I know those are hard to come by. We went through last night, like we finished Succession. Like everyone else, we're now on the whatever year long wait to find out what happens next year. And now we're in the desert of finding another show. And like you forget, like that's the dating period of married couples as you date other shows to find out which one you want to be in a relationship with. And we dated a couple last night that I don't think clicked for both of us. And
I really liked one. So I'm going to have to see that one on the side.
You'll see that one on the side. And I'll finish the one that I picked on the side. And then this is getting so weird.
Now we're both going to be in bed with our iPads by ourselves again.
Yeah, having our show affairs.
You brought home breakfast this morning. That was such a fun micro date after you dropped the kids off from school.
Yeah.
What, you don't think that's a micro date?
No, I'm saying if that's a micro date, most of our micro dates are like you being like, hey, here's what I'm spiraling about. Let's discuss it while I eat a sandwich.
I stuff a sandwich in my face.
But that was fun. That's true. Sometimes we'll just do little like impromptu lunches and things like that. Mm-hmm. When you know, schedules line up, which is rare, but I feel like we take advantage of it.
I'm looking forward to Sabrina's parent-teacher conference coming up.
Yeah, me too. That's our first.
What do they tell you when your kid is 6 years old?
I'm curious, you know? I mean, I have a feel. I don't know. It's interesting. I think they will definitely mention that she goes to the nurse a lot.
She goes to the nurse so
She goes to the nurse, like, very, maybe daily.
Just really likes the nurse.
I think she's a little bit of a hypo, and I think that she's she likes the attention. It's about, like, oh, now it's about me.
Yeah.
Like everyone's got to stop and sort of like, it's a thing. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's part of it. Or maybe she's prone to injury. I don't know.
Well, at least Eliza, I haven't gotten any more reports that Eliza has thrown sand on children.
And then the funniest thing is there's some kid that she, apparently is like her best friend because she says her name constantly that we literally cannot understand what she's saying.
Right.
We spent 20 minutes this morning being like, say it again. And she'd be like, you know, juicy or something.
Yeah, juicy. Juicy? The funny thing is, she's so specific about this name.
Because I kept saying Charisse, and she's like, no.
Juice. Because last night I was asking her, and she gets really frustrated because I can't say it. So then this morning I said, Eliza, that name that I can't figure out, what is it? And she said it again. Like, she knows.
Juice.
It's an important person to her.
Yeah, it's
and
an important person.
We have no we don't idea know what she's saying.
Yeah.
Oh, and...
Time to get flu shots.
Okay, everybody, we just had to take a break.
We're back.
Okay, so people...
And we thought this was going to be a boring episode. I'm fired up.
Don't have this magical app on your phone. It's called the Heal app, H-E-A-L, and you can schedule appointments. They come to your home. Our insurance covers it, so it's very exciting for us. So I thought I'd be a genius and have...
Heal come to the house
and give... all four members of our family
the flu shots. What bonds us better than family? It should be called the Heal Sometimes app because our daughter, Sabrina, I got a flu shot. Ellie got a flu shot. Eliza got a flu shot. Sabrina is now a folk hero for children everywhere because she didn't get a flu shot. She literally fought her way out of it. It was the craziest thing I have ever seen in my life.
I now know why pediatricians have such small rooms.
Yes,
100%. I thought it was because there wasn't a lot of real estate.
No.
No, really, it's because you want to trap them inside so that when they give the shot, they can't run. They suggested us pinning her down. We wouldn't do it because here's what happened.
And I agree with that.
I agree, too.
Also, we're in our own home. You can't pin her down in our house. It's
when
crazy.
When Sabrina and Eliza had hand, foot, and mouth recently, as you all may recall, I had the Heal app doctors come. They needed to do a throat swab test to make sure it wasn't strep throat. Sabrina didn't want to do it. Eventually, I put her on my lap and I held her arms down against her will, which is awful. It's a horrible feeling for me. It's definitely a horrible feeling for her. They did the throat swab. It took 2 seconds. Afterwards, I thought I did a really good job of talking her down. I wanted her to feel like she was, you know, in control of her body again and the power was with her. After I released her arms, I said, you know, feel around in your mouth with your tongue. Like, and I made funny faces and, you know, with my tongue and I said, stomp on the ground. Like, I want you to feel like you're in charge of your body. Fast forward to this, the doctors come, they're going to do the flu shot. She's mad. She's already revved up. Like, don't touch my body. I don't want you holding me down. Like, don't touch me.
Because my guess is that of kids that are taken to get shots, the percentage of kids who have to be held in some way, shape, or form is probably like 85%. And we tried to really like let this be her choice today. And that was not a choice she was going to make.
No, we bribed her in a million ways.
Yeah, offered her Coke and ice cream.
That was you.
Yeah, that was my like, I will literally give you anything.
Didn't work. Meanwhile, her sister, the 2-year-old, was sitting on my lap and I said, Mommy's going to get it first. Will you hold my hand while I get my shot? And she held my hand. And I said, will you say it's okay, Mommy? And she goes, it's okay, Mommy. Got my shot. She got her shot. She cried for a second. Then she was happy. She got her chocolate banana. She was fine.
But
her sister was bananas.
Yeah, but so I will say, like, in Sabrina's defense, I go, you know, your sister did it. She's like, she's a baby. She can't talk. You were holding her. It doesn't count. And I'm like, well.
I wasn't
She's
really
not wrong.
Her.
I mean, she was sitting in your lap.
The problem is, last year I got them both the shot at the same time at the doctor's office. She was a little wigged out, and then she did it. This time it was like she was running around in circles. I gave her too much.
There was too much run up. I also think, for whatever reason, I think the combination of it being on her home turf,
I know,
and then also that throat swab thing also being on her home turf. Created this weird psychological scenario where it just was, I mean, it was the most wild-eyed I've ever seen her. She was like not having it.
I don't think she liked that it was a guy that was going to be doing it.
Yeah, she also like, just was, it was like,
he'd stand up and suddenly he'd look really big.
Yeah, I mean, by the end of it, it was insane. It was like me trying to tell her, you know, walking that fine line of not trying to lie to her, but being like, I know it's scary, but you know, we'll be brave and it's over very quickly. And the guy with the shot trying to get it ready and like be ready for when it's time. And then the doctor had like a One Direction video playing on his phone that he's trying to show her to like distract her. We're all talking. She's like so yelling stressful. At us, back up, back up. It was crazy.
So we let the doctors leave.
I'm a little like impressed that again, folk hero for children everywhere who the world over, even as kids, I would try to get out of getting a shot. I never did. I've never heard of it. She got out of getting a shot.
Does that make her a folk hero or make us?
I think I it makes know. Us good I'm, parents. I would say that if we had had to hold her down in her own
home.
Well,
she just never would have forgiven me. I don't care about the my own home thing. I know that that's like
it
really
is weird because
hits
we are,
you personally.
Well, because here's the deal. She's going to have to be held down somewhere to get a shot. That's the reality. And I'd rather it be in a doctor's office.
So are you going to do that?
Probably not. I'll probably just let her get the flu and then be miserable for the week that she's home from school and when she misses her 65th day of this year.
Yeah. I know, but I don't want to be the one on the hook when she misses a week of school.
Great. Then we got to take her to the doctor and hold her down.
You will.
Fine. The nanny will.
No.
That's my new podcast called Terrible Parenting. Everybody tune in. It's going to launch on my daughter's birthday. Hot take, can they sedate kids before they get their shots? Is that a thing?
Give her a Benadryl.
Can they give her seven? Like, what's the...
I don't... Yeah, coach, should she be asleep? And they should... We should
just
schedule...
Just run up. Wake up! I don't know.
Because that wouldn't be traumatizing. At 9
p.m.
Just
all these people hovering over her.
This man in...
That's how she
huge
tells people
man
she was abducted
scrubs.
By aliens. Yeah.
So how do you get a kid to get a shot?
You go to
if
a doctor's office
they are
and you hold them down.
And you don't want to hold them down.
Am I right? I mean, I think at some level you have to. That's why.
But I can't do it again. She's still holding against me that I did the swab. Or do I just take one for the team every time where I'm the mother?
Well, no,
who
I, that's what
holds
I was
her,
I, that's why
takes
I was
away your power, holds
no,
her against
I did
her
that.
Will.
I did it the first time. And we, and this whole family held it against me for a very long time, meaning held her, made her get shots
that
against
this,
her will.
And that was actually the beginning of all.
Okay,
of this.
See, now that we've
now
found a way to blame
slightly
me,
better. Yeah.
I knew if I brought this up.
Now.
But. So quick backstory, I think I've told the story before
they were
on the pod.
She was always so good about shots.
Well, please, she was four. It's like before four, you don't have a choice. You just sort of are like, hey, what are we doing here? And then someone jams a needle in you and you cry and then they give you a lollipop and you're over it. Okay. Anyway, I took her to the doctor. Great dad, like super involved. And she was behind on shots, which probably says more also about... the title of this podcast is, not great parenting. No, she was, I don't think she was behind actually. I think it was more like, you know, at that early age when they're just like getting tons of shots all the time. So she had to get, I think, four. And they offered to me and they said, you can do all four today or you can do two today and then make another appointment and come back for the other two. And part of this was me being like grumpy LA guy that's like, I don't want to have to carve out a whole other day to drive to the doctor to get two more shots. And the other part was like, in my mind, I'm like getting two and then being like, and good news, we're coming back in a week to do this again would actually be harder for her than just getting all four at once. Because like two, four, what's the difference? That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was wrong. Because what happened was it was the first time getting shots that she was uneasy. They had all four of them. She didn't want to do it. And I was trying to do the thing that Ellie had taught me where I'm like, we're going to go when you're ready. Like, it's okay. Like, no one's going to do anything before you're ready. And then the nurse, I probably because she's seen this before, just like was like, I'm ready. and went out and like grabbed her and more or less, she was very little at the time, so but more or less held her down and did four shots in rapid succession. She was a pro. Probably knocked him out in under 6 seconds. But... for Sabrina, it was the violation of you told me.
And she's always felt that
yes,
way.
Yes. You told me that it would be on my strong. Watch. And then I was lied to. And so, you know, I remember we had to go. It was near the 4th of July. So we had to buy, but we went to the store and I got her a ton of M&Ms and, you know, American flag, this and that to try to buy my way out of it. But she carried that for a long time. And then that has recently been replaced by the throat swab because that's what this is a very long way of saying when she told us why she didn't want to do it, I thought she was going to talk about that story, the shot story. And instead she told the throat swab story. And I went, thank God I'm off the hook. Now it's mom's fault. So it's my fault. I set the table for this whole thing.
No,
but,
it's not.
I, you know.
Everyone, good luck with your flu shots this season.
Yeah. Let's get some stories, guys. Make us feel like we are not on an island here. If anybody wants to hit Ellie up on the gram with some
Atomic Moms,
some stories of their own.
And if anyone has,
I would love
ideas
to hear
for
them.
New York.
Yeah, ideas for New York, you know, maybe, preferably, you know, not around the elderly or very young children.
Ugh, what a doozy.
Thanks. Trust in your flu shot. Live out your flu shot. Rock on with your flu shots.
Atomic Moms.
Atomic Moms.